Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Jason Sobel from the Action Network is nice enough to join us today to talk a little bit about the PGA Championship on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Jason, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. I love West Coast Major Championships. Fantastic. We'll be able to watch in prime time through much of the country. The only problem with it is you wake up in the morning, and if you're betting, if you're playing DFS, you're in some office pools, all of a sudden you start second-guessing everything you were thinking for the first 3 days. You have too much time to think about it beforehand.
You had to bring me down on that. Like, I'm pumped. I love being able to watch this stuff a little bit later at night. Your thoughts on just everything with the PGA Championship right now, where we're headed, who you like. I mean, there's a lot of great storylines going into this thing.
Yeah, I mean, I can get into all of it here. It's going to be a really good week, I think. TPC Harding Park is, as Brooks Koepka most succinctly put it, it's a big boy golf course. It just looks like a major championship. All the players have said once you get in there, Jordan Spieth said that it's not a course where you just want to grind it out and then you're happy with pars all over the place, but you're also not firing at flagsticks all day either. So I would think somewhere in the 10 to 12 under range is probably going to win this golf tournament. It's going to be cold there, although guys are making some birdies so far early in the morning. The wind is going to really kick up later today. It's going to be fun watching in prime time later tonight because we're going to see some 25 to 30 mile an hour gusting winds later today, and that should really affect scoring. And then through the weekend, it'll get a little nicer, and I expect, I mean, we've seen 8 tournaments now in the PGA Tour's return to golf, 9 tournaments really with the alternate field event last week, and we've had 7 really high-level winners, guys who are elite players, guys who, even if you're just a casual fan, you have heard of them, you know the names, and so I don't expect that to change this week. I think with a major championship, we're going to get the best of the best rising up that leaderboard throughout the weekend.
Jason, does it do anything for anybody that here the PGA is the first major of the year instead of the last?
It probably helps the PGA of America instead of sort of that. And they've gotten rid of that sort of stigma of being the last of the 4 major championships in both chronology and priority because last year it moved to May. It's back in its usual spot in August only because the schedule was switched around after the COVID-19 schedule suspension. So basically it feels like normal. This is what we knew in 2018 and before, so we almost forgot that this tournament was supposed to be 3 months ago.
And I read this morning this could be the most bet on golf championship ever. Are you buying that? I mean, is it – and how heavy do you think the action is on this one?
So I can tell you that before the NBA came back, before Major League Baseball came back, before the NHL came back, golf tournaments, just regular PGA Tour events when there was nothing else going on, were getting 4 times the handle in sports books from what they were usually getting beforehand when other sports were being paid, were being played. So I think now that people have kind of gotten a little taste of it, it's certainly a numbers game. It's just Colorado legalized sports gaming. I believe Illinois did recently. So you're able to do it in more places. So I think the sheer volume makes it that more people are going to start betting on events. And yeah, I would expect this to probably be number one on the list. And then when we get to the U.S. Open, that'll top it. And the Masters in November will top that one. So I think it's only going to keep growing and growing for the rest of the year and way beyond this.
Jason Sobel joining us from the Action Network. The story in golf so far this year has been Bryson DeChambeau. And as if he weren't an interesting enough story in the first place, having all of his irons the same length because he said then you only have to perfect one swing, which I think is fascinating, and the only guy to do it. Now he goes out and he turns himself into some muscle guy, swings like he's in a long drive competition. You know, he's not just hitting it far, Jason. I mean, he's trying to bust it like those guys who do nothing but hit the ball long, and it's been working for him. Is he an outlier here, or is he the sign of things to come?
It might be the sign of things to come. It's a copycat tour. And so what I think is going to happen is players are going to take a little bit of a wait-and-see approach, see how Bryson plays, especially in the major championships this year. And if Bryson absolutely kills at the majors, don't be surprised if in 2021 some of the other top players come out, maybe bulked up another 20 pounds and a little more muscular, a little leaner, and going out there and trying to hit the ball as far as they possibly can every single time. It's interesting. I can't wait to see Bryson this week, because he said in his press conference the other day that he expects to employ the same strategy. He's going to just rip driver. He said the rough isn't that penal. He doesn't believe that it's going to impact him that much. Other players have said differently, and it's funny that he's the only one I've heard say that, you know, the rough isn't going to affect his shots that much. Tony Finau said basically it's a 50-50 chance. He said he had one ball in the rough and it was a perfect lie and hit it right to the green, had put another ball down a foot away and it sank down in the rough and he basically had to punch it out. So really it's a 50-50 chance if you are in the rough to be able to get a good lie and get a good shot onto it into the green. So it remains to be seen whether Bryson's strategy is going to work for him, but I'm very intrigued to see whether it will.
Jason, is this good for the game? Do you think that, you know, I don't want to say golf courses are becoming obsolete, but courses are having to either A, lengthen themselves, or B, get tricked up because guys are hitting the ball so far. I've always wondered, does there come a standardized ball for the tour that has a little bit of a restricted flight or something like that in a situation like this? Or is this okay? You know, a guy's playing a 480-yard par four and busting drive and wedge, something like that.
It's been talked about for so long. I went back, yep. I wrote about Bryson and the effect of this recently. I found an article from 1901 which said the ball was flying too far and the courses were becoming obsolete. I mean, it's been a 119-year discussion now that we've been talking about whether this is good for the game or not. And all I can say, the game evolves. Every other sport has evolved over time. You know, back in the 50s in the NBA, they weren't, you know, throwing inbounds passes and dunking to each other. They weren't throwing alley-oops. So every game becomes a little different. The guys, I think, are more athletic right now than they ever have been before. And so it changes things. Does it make it maybe a little less fun to watch if guys are bashing driver all over the place, just hitting wedge in? Sure. I would like to see, though, instead of just rolling back the ball, which seems to be everybody's answer to this issue, I think there are other things we can do. I would love to see a maximum of clubs in the bag that is something less than 14. Why have we come to that number of 14? I don't know. It's just because it's always been that way. What if players were only allowed to have 7 clubs in the bag? All of a sudden, you don't want to necessarily bash driver all the way down the hole if you say, well, I don't know if I have the right club to get there from where I'm going to hit it to, so I'm going to play more strategic. I think there are other ways of thinking creatively around the issue right now other than just, well, let's roll back the golf ball so it doesn't go as far. Because quite honestly, if you roll back the ball, Bryson is still going to be the longest player out there, and he's still going to be doing what he's doing.
Jason, if you ever need the story, I got you covered. I only use 3 clubs when I play. 5-iron, pitching wedge, and putter. That's it. Because I can't hit my woods. Everybody makes fun of me. I'm telling you, I can't hit my woods. I can hit my irons. And I would use my 2-iron or 3-iron, but the heads broke off of those because I was swinging the club so hard. So now I'm at my 5-iron because I have more control with that than anything else. I know I'm playing old man golf.
Get the 2-iron and 3-iron out of the bag. I got rid of those years ago. I've got a bunch of hybrids in the bag. I only carry, I think, 11 clubs. I might have 1 or 2 extras in there that haven't seen the light of day in a few years. But honestly, and this goes for amateurs too, recreational players, you don't need 14 clubs. In fact, you have that many clubs, all of a sudden the decision-making just becomes harder, trying to figure out, am I going to hit a hard 6 here or a soft 7? Quite honestly, you can hit it the same distance with either club, and I would love to see, especially for the professionals, a limit on the clubs that's something less than 14, and they have to make better decisions as far as how they're going to play each hole.
So wait, I lied to you. 3 clubs and a retriever to get the ball out of the water. Just so everybody knows. Another important club for me too.
You understand the biggest club face in the bag is going to be your driver. So I mean, if you're going to hit something in the club face, the driver should be the one that you're able to hit.
Tell him, Jason.
I can't. One day we'll have a discussion about this off air, maybe. Jason Sobel, nice enough to join us. from the Action Network. Go ahead, Jeff. Sorry.
I'm sorry, Andy. I saw a story yesterday, Jason, that I thought was interesting, and I don't know if people would even figure this one out, that Tiger Woods was thinking about changing his putter. And it said he's basically used the same Scotty Cameron putter for 11 years on tour. And they said it's all beat up, it's scuffed and everything else, but he's used it. And he's getting a different Scotty Cameron putter that can change the weight and be a little longer so that he can practice more so he doesn't have to bend over as much. Do guys change their golf clubs as much as people think they do, or do they not change their clubs? Like Ben Crenshaw used the same putter for, what, 30 or 40 years, something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that is the anomaly in there. That's the outlier, is that guys who stick with the same thing for a long time. Guys change clubs, and the most changed club in players' bags is probably the putter. You know, guys, there are probably guys on tour that have 50, 100 putters sitting in the garage, and all of a sudden they're sitting around one day working at home and trying to figure out what they want to use. They pull one out and say, oh, I pulled this out of a bargain bin 10 years ago, and I liked it, so I have to go out and play with it. I mean, there are all sorts of stories. Jim Furyk won the FedEx Cup a handful of years ago with something that he had bought in a store for $29. D.A. Points won the Houston Open one year with his mother's old putter that he had found in his parents' garage. I mean, there are all sorts of stories that, most of the guys are probably using state-of-the-art, top-of-the-line putters that are available to them. But, hey, if you can get it in the hole, it doesn't really matter. And, yeah, so a lot of guys change that out on a fairly regular basis. Tiger Woods is a guy who hasn't. Back when he had a Nike hard goods deal, when Nike was still making clubs, he was using that Nike putter, didn't putt great with it, went back to the Scotty. That's, of course, what he's won 14 of his 15 major championships with. But now it looks like he's going with a backup that's very similar. I mean, you really have to get a close-up look of the two next to each other to understand that it's just a little bit different. Like you said, a little bit longer and a couple of weights on there. But for the most part, it's not as if he's going to a mallet putter or something way different than what he was using.
Jason, who do you like? I mean, who do you? I was reading your story about who you like, but as we get closer to, you know, and guys have already teed off a little bit here, who do you really like here? Give me your top three golfers this weekend.
Okay, well, I hate picking chalk, and I hate picking the guy who just won the previous week, because usually they're sort of running low on physical and mental energy after winning a golf tournament. And yet, I just think it's all set up for Justin Thomas. He played so well. We've seen it before back in 2006 and 2007, Tiger Woods won a WGC event and then won the PGA the very next week. Rory McIlroy did the exact same thing in 2014. And so I like Justin. I liked him last week. I picked him to win last week. I know it's chalk. He's the tournament favorite. But I think Justin Thomas is going to have a very good week this week. He's teeing off here in just a few minutes alongside Tiger Woods and Rory McIlroy. And then if you want to go down the list, again, there's some more chalky plays. Xander Schauffele is second on my ranking of all 156 in the field that you can find on the Action Network right now, followed by Brooks Koepka, John Rahm, and Matt Fitzpatrick. For guys that maybe just a little bit lower tier, Tony Finau has gotten off to a good start. Tommy Fleetwood I like this week. Colin Morikawa might know this golf course better than anybody else. Played it a bunch of times as an amateur when he went to college at Cal, which is right nearby.
All righty, Jason Sobel, thank you very much. Appreciate it. Let me know when you want to do story on 3-Club Golf. I got you covered. No problem at all. Thanks, Jason.
That's perfect. I'm just not sure they're the right 3 clubs you got right now.
Thanks, Jason.
All right, putter's right. Putter's one of the right 3, right?
Yes. Keep the putter in the bag, no doubt. If you ever get to the green, you're going to need that putter.
It only takes me an hour to get there. Not a big deal. Just don't play behind me. You're good. Hey, we appreciate it, Jason. We'll talk to you soon. Have fun this weekend.
Thanks, guys.
All right, Jason Sobel from the Action Network. Nice enough to join us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.